Good morning and welcome to Ask the Pro, a paid commercial program. The opinions expressed are those of the participating clients and not necessarily those of the management and staff of WLVL. Ask the Pro is an informational-based program designed to advertise the product and or service of the client and to introduce them to the WLVL listening audience. Your questions and comments are welcome throughout the show. If you'd like to talk to today's pro, just call 433-1433. That's 433-1433.
And good morning. We're in Ask the Pro this morning. Today is Friday, October 22nd in the year of our Lord, 2021. And we're here with Dr. Ken Kerbs, all things chiropractic. And he is a virtual and variable wealth of all other things medical as well. And I heard something the other day. I was talking to a friend of yours who is a mutual friend that says you started out in the veterinary business when you were going to school. Is that true?
Yeah. Who are you talking to? So for people who don't know that, my entire life was directed towards veterinary medicine from the time I was a small child. Mm-hmm. Never thought of anything different. As I moved on through my career, that is where I was heading through college. My undergraduate work, I was a biology major, zoology major, botany minor in undergraduate school with the intent on going to vet school. It was through that period of time, right after high school, that I got hired at Ridge Animal Hospital in Middleport.
Oh, yes, Dr. Dale.
Right, Dr. Dale and Dr. Yep. Mayhew, who are two of my mentors for many, many years. And, you know, Dr. Mayhew has passed, but Dr. Dale, they were always supporters of me. And I always appreciate what those guys did. And it was very interesting because as I worked through that process, loved the job. Love the people I worked with, but was starting to go through a realization because I worked there for about 3 years, and going through the realization is, do I want to do this for the rest of my life? And the reason that it wasn't the work, it was the lifestyle and everything else that was going on in that time too, that it's like, do I really want to do this? So I graduated from Syracuse University and I was torn. I was very torn. So what I realized after I graduated is I still had to there were two classes I needed to have in order to complete my prereqs for vet school. So during that summer, I took a microbiology class, and I was struggling with my future, did not know what to do. And it was what I call a dark time in my life, the summer after I graduated from college, because it's like all of a sudden my entire life was geared towards this direction, and now I just was not sure. So I was contemplating. I looked into things. Now, again, realize back then we didn't have the internet. We didn't have virtual tours. We didn't have any of that stuff. If you wanted to look up information, you found catalogs which listed colleges, which listed majors, and that was about all you got. So I was looking at, you know, medicine. I looked at dentistry. I looked at podiatry. I looked at pharmacy. None of them were clicking with me. And then for some reason, I always say I didn't choose chiropractic, it chose me, but that name came up and I thought, interesting. So I went, after 3 days of being in my bedroom, I went down to my parents and I said, what do you think about chiropractic? You know, cause they knew I was struggling with that whole thing. And both of them were right away was like, well, that's interesting. That sounds great. You know, so it was at that point that I went to, when I went to work, I was talking to Dr. Mayhew. And I said to him, I go, Ron, I'm thinking about potentially looking into chiropractic. And what I expected was not what I got, okay? So what it was amazing is what he said to me was, you know, that's interesting. He goes, if I were to do it again, that's what I would do.
No kidding.
And I thought, wow. And so as a result of that conversation, he goes, let me introduce you to my friend who is Dr. John Gantner in Medina. Okay. Yep. And he initiated a meeting with Dr. Gantner and my entire life changed.
Interesting. So, yeah.
Yeah. It was literally in the moment. So.
Yeah, it's been my experience that we are always only one decision away from an entirely different life.
Changed my entire course of life. Yep. Never for a moment has there been a regret. It was the right move for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I say. You know, it's like I love the profession that I'm in. Like for my children, I've said this to somebody, my kids always mock me. I says, my dream was always for all five of my kids to become chiropractors and then for them to marry chiropractors. So that was my dream, but it's always been my dream, not theirs.
Right.
Because the thing is, it has to, you know, you have to want that, right?
That's right.
So it's great because two of my five children have chosen that as their profession.
Isn't that great?
It'll be interesting to see how that plays out in the long run.
Mm-hmm. So, do you ever use a chiropractic on your animals?
You know, that's interesting because there are, the way I raise animals is very differently than what a lot of people raise animals. Because again, I take it from a very holistic point, you know.
Sure.
So, chiropractors, there is specific, actually there's entire, postgraduate work in adjusting animals.
Yeah.
I've always stuck to people. However, my personal veterinarian that I go to is Dr. Cindy Lankenau down in Colden, New York, and she's a Cornell-trained vet who also is trained in chiropractic techniques and Chinese herbal medicine and acupuncture. So when I was having some crises with a past dog of mine, every 4 weeks I made that 100-mile round trip.
Wow.
We did that for about 4 or 5 years. Every 4 weeks. And it was worth it because it was the only thing that was able to manage my dog's condition, which was very much failed by the conventional veterinary treatments.
Right.
Okay. And that's what happens so many times with humans too, is so many times people will end up in my office because of all the past failed conventional medical treatments.
Right.
And then many times miracles occur because you start getting down to basics too. And, you know, we neglected to look at the basics, you know, and again, realize this is that, in medicine, in conventional allopathic medicine, our healthcare system, which is really not a healthcare system, it's a sick care system. It has nothing to do with health. It has to do with treating and symptomatic control. That's all it is. Many times it fails. We have an amazing system for acute traumatic care. You know, you get in a car accident, you break your leg and your femur sticking out of your thigh. You know, you cut your hand off. I mean, believe me, our conventional medicine is the best. But when it comes to, we're talking day-to-day health, it's not good at all.
That's right. And if they could call you first before they get into this mess, do some preventative.
Right. The thing would be is how about maintaining the machine before it breaks down? You know, people get so obsessed about oil changes and tire rotations and all this stuff. I mean, I've seen people just crazy about that stuff, and yet they don't take care of themselves.
Right.
You know, if you took care of yourselves like you took care of your car, our world would be a different place.
Isn't that the truth?
Isn't it?
That's just crazy.
It blows my mind that we can sit there and that's how we perceive things, you know?
That's crazy, crazy stuff.
Yeah.
So I saw you shuffling some papers around in there. Did you have something you wanted to talk about? I just kind of jumped into this.
I'm going to get to it eventually. I don't want to get to it right now.
All right.
Now.
Well, we're on the air here at 1340 AM 105.3 FM WLVL Radio, streaming on the worldwide interwebs at WLVL.com. If you have any questions for Dr. Ken Kerbs, you can feel free to call us at 433-1433, and he will be happy to address any questions that you may have this morning. And go ahead, Dr. Ken.
Yeah, so it's interesting when you talk about worldwide streaming and all that stuff, because my daughter, who lives in Bangkok, Thailand, can listen to my show live.
Isn't that great?
And I think that's fascinating.
It absolutely is.
That they have that ability to do that. So, I'm quite tickled with that.
Yeah. It's
So, going back to what we were just talking about, because sometimes you get me off on tangents. And
now,
do I look like the kind of guy that would do a thing like that to a guy like you? Because it just leads me down another rabbit hole.
Sure.
So, I had an interesting interaction with a patient this past week. Actually, it was about a week and a half ago. Brand new to my office, moved here from another state far, far away, and has been in the medical profession her entire career, okay? And it's interesting because she has been a chiropractic patient for many years, certainly is in favor of that and one of the reasons why she sought me out. But what was interesting was her initial call to my office, thank goodness that, you know, I always say things happen for a reason. But when she called my office, it happened to be me that answered that phone. And I'm just so glad that it was.
Providence.
It is. It happens to me far too many times. And so I picked up that phone, and the first thing she said to me is she goes, "Do you take my insurance?" Okay. And I says, "No, ma'am, I don't." And then she got really mad because she said, "You are the fourth office that I've called that doesn't take my insurance." I says, "No, thank God. I've been doing this a long time. It's like I don't react or anything." And I didn't want the conversation to end based on that. Right. So as we talked, I said, "Ma'am, you know, things are different here. Give me a sense of what your insurance does cover." Now, really, she actually came from California. Mm-hmm. So now, do you realize how much an office visit costs for an adjustment in California? And she was in the Oakland area, which I believe is San Francisco-ish area, that area. So guess what an adjustment cost there?
$100.
$95.
Wow.
$95.
Yep.
And I said, "Ma'am, what is your copay for your insurance?" Okay, which means doesn't matter how much your insurance covers, you still have to pay the initial copay no matter what. And she said, "My copay is $30. I go, "Ma'am." And she was of the, it wasn't my right, because she was of a specific age and a specific condition. I says, "Do you realize that my office visit total, everything, is $3 more than what your copay is?" And it stunned her. I mean, she didn't even realize. She goes, "You're kidding me." I go, "No." I said, "So the thing is, if you think that I'm going to participate in your insurance, when I'm going to struggle to get 80% of $3 back, it's going to cost me more in postage stamps and time than it ever would be worth going after that." I said, "And that's one of the reasons why I don't participate." Well, push come to shove, and we had a lovely conversation. She decided to come in, and it was a life-changing experience for her because, first of all, I realized that in the last 20 years, no chiropractor actually adjusted her neck, okay, which I found quite fascinating that in my profession that is an integral part of what's going on. As I did my diagnostic testing that I do, everything that was going on with her was stemming from her neck, especially her upper cervical spine. You know, she saw it, she understood it, and as a result of that, we proceeded, and it literally was, it was miraculous. I mean, there has been such a significant change in her in such a short time that she's having a hard time processing it, that this could be possible.
Isn't that?
You know, her pain medications have been dramatically reduced. She is in a very different mindset. Things have changed dramatically. And I've just started working with her. You know, we've only seen her two or three times now. So it's amazing. So I'm very looking forward to it. So because she was in the medical field, in part of our conversation, I said to her, "You know, the difference between how I look at things as a chiropractor and how you in the allopathic healthcare world look at things is that everything you do is symptom-based, okay? So I go into the doctor, I said, 'Hey, my tummy hurts or my headache hurts or whatever.' And as a result of that, they make their, quote, clinical decision and then give me a chemical to control that. Okay, basically that's it. Simplified down to the basics. Or if it's bad enough, then we cut out your organ. Okay? Mm-hmm. So I've said this many times in healthcare, it's more about a lack of drugs and an excess of organs that they're dealing with basically as you go through your life. So I said to her, and you know what? Again, in the spur of the moment, you know, she was in total agreement. She goes, "Absolutely right." I says, "And now you go, if you were to go into your field," and because her primary complaints had nothing to do with her neck. It was all her lower back. It was all foot pain, leg pain, it was all lower spine. I says, "Nobody would have ever bothered to look at your neck. And they would have brushed it up. They would have never even thought about looking there because of the situation. And she was in total agreement. She goes, absolutely. I said, except for one thing. Okay. So if you go, if right now, if you were to go to your medical doctor and say, doc, I feel great. Everything's going good. I feel good. I sleep good. I do everything good. They're going to go, well, what are you doing here? I can't do anything for you because I can't give you a chemical to change those symptoms. So again, we were on the same page as far as that goes, except for one thing. And she looked at me, she goes, what? I said, except for COVID, because COVID is the only thing that the medical profession addresses as asymptomatic. Okay. Meaning I have no symptoms. I might test positive, but I have absolutely no symptoms, feel good, hasn't altered my life in any way. And yet we've gone crazy over that. So in that aspect, it's a total contradiction to how they even run their own system. Okay. Oh. And I find it frustrating because right now I could swab your throat and find streptococcus, staphylococcus, gonorrhea. You could find all of these things within a person, but they're asymptomatic because our bodies innately know it's God given. Innately know that when our bodies are in balance, it keeps it all in check. And it is when our resistance and our immune systems drop and we're not taking care of ourselves and we're not eating properly and we're exposing ourselves to toxins and we're doing all the crazy things that we do in this world, that is when the system gets out of balance. Okay. Perfect example here. A woman goes to the doctor. She has a urinary tract infection. What does the doctor do? He gives her an antibiotic to kill the bacteria causing the urinary tract infection. As a result of that, the bacteria are relatively indiscriminate. And what they do is they kill off a lot of not only the bad, but the good bacteria.
Good, yeah.
And as a result of that, the natural yeast population within that person proliferates because yeast and bacteria have a very delicate balance within our bodies. Well, when you kill off the good bacteria, which is keeping the yeast in check, it now proliferates. And as a result of that, how commonly does a woman develop a vaginal yeast infection after treatment for a urinary tract infection? It happens all the time.
All the time, that's right.
So now we have to give her something to control the yeast. It's crazy. It's about keeping the system in balance. So it's no different with what's going on here now. It's that when somebody is asymptomatic, there's a simple label for them. It's called healthy. Okay. Yeah, healthy we're going works. Crazy. We're just going absolutely crazy. So, yeah, let's go to the phones.
All right, let's take a call. Hey, good morning. You're on Ask the Pro with Dr. Ken Kurz. What's your question this morning?
Good morning, Dr. Kurz.
Good morning.
I work with patients that have dementia and
yeah.
their gaits have changed and they're a person that's been basically very physical now is having problems. But is there anything that you can do for that?
Yeah, you know what? That's don't hang up. Please don't hang up. Stay on the line so we can, if I can, you know, ask, you know, we want to engage in the conversation. So first of all, realize this. So you mean you take care of this type of person or there's a specific person you take care of?
No, this is the person I'm taking care of, my husband.
Okay. So first of all, how old is he?
85.
Okay. Now, second of all, is he on any type of statin drugs, meaning cholesterol-lowering drugs?
Yes.
Okay. So... Again, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, but what we have seen in the last 30 years.
An awful long time on those statins.
Of course. Because this is what we're seeing more and more and more and more and more.
Except he has had two bypasses and a stent that was put in that's never been done before and hasn't been done again in Buffalo General.
Yeah.
So the heart is a problem, granted, but is it really helped by the statins? It just seems like forever on these statins.
I can tell you that 40 years ago, before statins were used so disgustingly widely as they are today, you did not see, we have entire centers, we have entire nursing homes, we have entire facilities dedicated to, quote, memory care, dementias and things like that. You never saw that 40, 50 years ago. Yes, that did exist, but it not to the degree that it does. And let me just go back to why I asked you about the statin drugs. Okay, and again, I'm going to preface with this. I am not a medical doctor. I do not prescribe or deprescribe drugs. That's outside of my scope of practice. But I have read and I have observed. Okay, and when you start looking at what has gone on in this world with statin drugs, they're not what they are cracked up to be. They're the biggest seller out there, believe me. I mean, Lipitor was the number one drug of all time out there when they lowered the standards of cholesterol levels from 300 down to 200, Lipitor went through the roof as far as its sales. So realize this, that, and what they're finding in all the research, it's not cholesterol that's the problem. It's inflammation that is the problem that creates and promotes the health, the heart disease and all this other stuff that's going on. It has so much more to do with our diets than it has to do with anything else about cholesterol. Another step back, you got to realize that our entire nervous systems, that is our brain and our spinal cord, are made up of, the vast majority of them are made up of cholesterol. Okay, the fatty part of our brains and our nervous systems are cholesterol based. And we must have cholesterol in order to function, in order for our nervous systems to function appropriately. When we sit there and keep trying to suppress cholesterol levels lower and lower and lower and lower, you are affecting nervous system function. And as a result of that, this is just my view on it, okay, is that this is definitely a contributing factor, along with we have our the standard American diet is absolutely out of control. It is abhorrent with what people are willing to put in their mouths and consider healthy. And as a result of this, when you start suppressing cholesterol levels way too low to the levels that they're getting, you're starting to see this dramatic increase in dementias. The other thing you're seeing is other toxins such as a lot of antiperspirants, okay? They are aluminum-based, okay? It is the aluminum hydroxide within the antiperspirant that is creating the inability to sweat, okay? So that's what makes the antiperspirant work. Well, aluminum crosses the blood-brain barrier and also can affect dementias. Also, we've gone – in the vaccine world, we've gone from – you know, back before 1986, when the law removing liability from any vaccine manufacturer was taken away, we saw the vaccine schedule in children go from 14 vaccines to age 18 to now 72 vaccines by age 18, 49 of them which are given before they hit kindergarten. All right. And in many of those are, and again, they'll argue now about, but thimerosal, which is a significant amount of thimerosal is made up of mercury, which also passes the blood-brain barrier, you know. And so there have been studies showing that elderly people who get more than five consecutive flu shots every year, because multivial flu vaccines still have thimerosal in them, that it dramatically increases their chances of Alzheimer or dementia-type symptomatology. It's a time where it's just absolutely crazy in what we're seeing, how many people are going down that rabbit hole of dementia and of all varying degrees of dementia. Yet you look back at what's been happening over history and, you know, we sit there and we throw up our hands and I would say, how could this be happening? Because it didn't happen. You know, 50 years ago, our diets were considerably better. The drug load on our body was certainly better. The toxic load from vaccines was certainly better. You know,
we were all a lot poorer. We ate better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, if you and your husband are in the 80 range, you know what? It was very different when you were raised as a child than what a child is raised today.
Yes.
There's no comparison to what – I mean, children raised today, if they're following the normal thing, are raised on almost totally processed food. I mean, it's getting rarer to see a child who actually eats single-ingredient food anymore. You know, it's all fast food, processed food, quick and easy, microwave ready, you know, whatever's the easiest and the cheapest. You know, that's what we live on today. It's
sad.
And
we fry everything with bacon.
We say that again?
We fry everything with bacon.
Well, you know, that's interesting because now, again, you're going to lead me to a different direction. So for many, many years in our diet world, You know, salt and fat have been demonized in our diets, okay? When in fact, what should be demonized is sugar and carbohydrates, okay? Because what's happening is that when we have removed – because, again, when you look at the history of where fat started being removed from the diet, it was based on a lot of false premises. And again, because we're not getting enough fat in our diet, another reason for dementias and so forth. When you're eating a strict no-fat, low-fat diet, you're not – our bodies have to have fat to work. So you have to realize that there are only two essential ingredients that we must have in our bodies to survive, and that is essential amino acids, which come from protein, meat, and essential fatty acids, which come from fat. Okay? We do have – so meaning of the three food groups, the proteins, the carbohydrates, and the fats, the only two that are necessary for survival are protein and fats. No carbohydrates are necessary to survive. So I find it kind of fascinating and interesting that, again, fat has been so demonized, yet what's happening is we've had this dramatic increase of highly processed oils, vegetable oils, corn oil, soybean oil, you know, all these different oils, which are very pro-inflammatory to our body. And we've gotten away from the really high quality oils of olive oil, real butter, coconut oil, avocado oil. Those are the type of things that one should be cooking with and utilizing in their food. So yeah, it's interesting because, you know, bacon fat's been very demonized. You know, I grew up with very German grandparents. Okay. You know what? There was a tub of lard that literally sat on their table, and that's what they used on their what they called butter. It was lard. It was pig lard, you know, and that's what they spread on their bread. You know, so it's interesting how the shift has been to not eat fat when yet it's absolutely critical for our diets.
Hmm.
Yeah. Just a different way of looking at it. See, I'm so glad you didn't hang up.
Thank you very much for your help with that. But to actually bring a person like that into your office, can you help there?
So first of all, yeah. So first of all, for my perspective as what I do as a chiropractor, it's always about bringing the nervous system back into balance. So what I would be doing with someone like your husband is to evaluate him with the diagnostic testing that I do to see where is the highest stress points within his nervous system, and then to start treating him accordingly. Am I going to, you know, miraculously correct his gait, make his dementia go away and all that stuff? That's you can't say that. That is not the premise of what I do. Okay. What we're doing is trying to create the best quality of life for him as possible.
That's what I need. Well,
absolutely.
She just gave him an antidepressant that I
gave the
lowest dose she could. And I tried that last night. I will never give it to the man again.
Oh.
These things are deadly. I thought I'd have to call 911, yeah, for God's sake.
Yeah. This is the thing that's happening now within the system, is that when you're just that's the progression. So when we're not doing anything, we just start suppressing them by putting them onto antidepressants and anxiety drugs. That doesn't solve a problem at all.
Oh, no. No, it made the problem worse.
Yeah. Yeah, and also it dramatically increases them. You look at the side effects of those, because a lot of the side effects of those, especially in elderly people with dementia, is death. So, you know, I would be very concerned about that.
But thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We'll be out to see you.
Good luck with that. Thank you. I look forward to working with you. Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Fascinating. See, now that's the reason why I don't like someone to hang up.
Right.
Because that interaction we have tells me so much more about what's going on. And realize that I'm coming from, 40 years within the healthcare field, okay? And so, yes, I don't deal with, statin drugs, and I will never say a person, don't take those or don't do this, okay?
Right.
You know, it's like that's where you work with your doctor. What I'm saying is that there are alternatives that as you start shifting your lifestyle and doing that, that would be a difference, you know? So first of all, again, being in the healthcare field, you know what? I eat a lot of high quality fats in my diet. They're an integral part of my diet.
Right.
Okay. I would never exclude them As a matter of fact, I include more. And the more I read and the more I research, the more I do. Okay? So in my diet, as it's changed over the years, is my fat intake has increased dramatically. My protein intake has already stayed moderate. And my carbohydrate intake has dropped to very, very minimal loads.
Okay, minimal. So you're taking it easy on the breads and the potatoes and the pasta.
None of that. I don't eat that.
No? Okay.
Don't eat it, you know. So,
interesting.
Yeah. And again, you know, you'll have all varying, you know, you'll have the, you know, you go to the extremes, like in an extreme vegan diet,
mm-hmm.
no fat at all, no oils, no nothing. Okay? Wow. I had a patient of mine whose husband had a stroke as a result of that because they had no fat in their diet at all. It's wrong. It's just wrong. You have to have essential fatty acids to survive. You have to have essential amino acids to survive. Okay? There is no dietary requirement for a carbohydrate.
Okay.
Our bodies live on two different energy sources. They either live on glucose, which comes from carbohydrates.
Okay.
Or they live on ketones, which come from fat. And our brain can function on either one of them. When you shift your body by decreasing or eliminating carbohydrates, your body shifts its primary energy source from glucose to ketones. A whole different world happens. I did it about 3 years ago. And my life changed dramatically. Okay. Mm-hmm. So,
how
you know,
curious.
My diet pretty much is a 90 to 95% ketogenic diet. I do a lot of intermittent fasting. I do many long-term fasts. People may think I'm crazy, but it is not unusual for me to do a five-day fast where I have nothing but water
mm-hmm.
or black coffee or something like that for 5 days. It is life-changing. It is not something you do overnight. It is something you need to progress into. But once your body is adapted, it's an amazing thing that can happen. And especially when people are dealing with disease processes, you realize that cancer can't survive without sugar.
Right.
Okay? Isn't that interesting? What do we give cancer patients? Anything they want. Candy, cookies, you know,
sure.
It's like high carbohydrate loads.
Feed
it's
that
like,
cancer.
What a contradiction mm-hmm. that is. You know, they have found that people who fast before they receive their chemotherapy have a much better result with much less side effects.
Really?
Because what's happening is you're not feeding. You know, your body isn't full of the glucose from all the carbohydrates you're taking. And getting chemotherapy in a fasted state. Now, again, you got to do that under supervision. But
sure.
But doing it in a fasted state makes a huge difference as far as the side effects.
Hmm.
So,
again, one decision away from a different life.
Absolutely.
Right?
And that is. And, it, you know, it's a choice.
Sure.
And I love when people say, this is and especially the last 2 years, this is the standard quote, well, I did my research. It's like, no, you didn't.
No.
No, you didn't. You just listened to somebody else.
Right.
You didn't pick up a book and read. You didn't look at a scientific study. You didn't look at any of that. You just listened to somebody else who you perceive as an expert.
Correct.
Doesn't matter what conflict of interest they have. It's who you perceive as an expert.
Conflict of interest. Boy, we were talking about that earlier this week, weren't we?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
My gosh. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
And that's what I had in front of me was the a name that you sent me that I thought, oh, interesting. And
right.
I wish my normal gentleman would call who usually calls at the
I know, right? This
because,
would be a...
Yeah, it's like because him and I always have some great interactions.
Right.
And when you talk about conflicts of interest, and yeah, we're getting late in the show, so I'm going to just bring it up because,
sure.
You know, it was interesting because we talked about this on the last show a little bit.
Right.
And then you sent me a link that I went into and kind of dove a little bit deeper into this.
Yep.
And when I talk about conflict of interest, okay... Who have we held on a pedestal for the last 2 years was Dr. Anthony Fauci, who is the god in many people's eyes who has been nothing but contradictions through this entire thing. You wonder why people are hesitating. You wonder why people are questioning. You wonder why people are doing this. Because you can't constantly be sending mixed messages over and over and over again and do what you want to do. But what was interesting was when you told me who Dr. Anthony Fauci's wife is.
Right. That's when it starts to get interesting.
Wow. And I had never, up until 2 weeks ago, had no idea. You're not going to see this in the mainstream media.
Nope.
You're not going to see this happening. But people need to go ahead and Google this and see what you're going to find. Her name is Dr. Christine Grady, Ph.D., and this, I'm just going to read this little short blurb. It says, was recently named chief of the Department of Bioethics of the National Institute of Health Clinical Center. Grady has served as deputy director of the department since 1996 and served as acting chief since September of 2011. Okay. Now, isn't that interesting that we have our highest paid federal employee, Dr. Anthony Fauci, whose salary I know was, what I heard, it was in excess of $400,000 a year, who has his position. And when they questioned him about being involved in the NIH, the National Institute of Health, he declined because his wife is controlling that end of the deal.
Right. And what does the NIH suggest to the rest of the world?
What does it suggest?
It suggests everything that Anthony Fauci suggests.
Absolutely.
And it just greenlight it all. Now, there's also a bit of misinformation as far as this lady is concerned, too. Her PhD. Her PhD is not in medicine. It is in philosophy.
Right.
She has a bachelor's of science in nursing.
Right.
She's a nurse.
Right.
Which is nothing. I mean, God bless nurses.
No, absolutely.
But just to have that misleading three little letters after your name to give it significance or to make us go, ooh.
Oh, she's no dummy. Believe me, she's very well educated.
Right. Yeah,
she's very well educated. But the thing is, it's like, again, red flag, you know, flashing lights, conflict of interest. Who's controlling what? And if at this point, 2 years into this situation, if you are not standing up and questioning what's going on, you are blind and have been living in a cave.
That's okay? Right.
You are blind and you are deaf because you are not waking up. It's like, come on, people. When you see the restrictions that they're putting on, when you're seeing the mandates that they're putting on, when you're seeing what they are doing in our school systems, in our healthcare systems, it is absolutely insane. And then when you get down to the bottom line of the actual numbers, it's not justified at all.
No, it's not.
No.
You know, it's just amazing that the NIH is who recommends to the FDA, and now all of a sudden they want to shoot 5-year-olds?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That have a 0.00001% chance of being even asymptomatically, much less symptomatically.
Right. And you'll always get that one child who is severely immunocompromised who will get it and who will die. That happens.
Right, and they'll end up on the front page of the news.
Right, but that happens in everything. Okay?
That's right.
Now, it's interesting because we keep just running it up. We're going 2 years into this thing. Oh, my God, 700,000 people have died. Okay, what are we going to – how long are we going to do this? Do we say that, you know, when 400,000 people die every year of heart disease – no one's batting an eye at that. Well, it's a totally acceptable number, okay?
Right.
When people are dying of cancer, when people are dying – but if they die of COVID, it is the worst thing that could ever happen in the world. When now that we're 2 years into this, we see who are the vulnerable part of the population,
right,
who are the ones most at risk, and who are the ones that should be getting the vaccinations.
Well, do you think they'll ever start making the distinction between who died of COVID and who died with COVID?
You will see that in retrospective reviews down the road. You're not going to see it now because that is the problem. Because, again, when we look at Niagara County, you know, I've talked about this so many times, Niagara County, 250,000 people in Niagara County. We've had like 300, the last stat I looked at, it was 390 deaths in almost 2 years, okay? Virtually every single one of them, without exception, were elderly and had multiple comorbidities, which means a common cold could have pushed them enough over the edge to do them in, and they died. But yet their death was primarily listed as a COVID death. Because, yep, it'll take people out.
Sure it will.
But it's not going to take...
deadly disease.
It's not going to take a person who is healthy with a strong immune system, who's a lot under the age of 70. It's going to be a hard question to take, you know.
Sure. So, could we briefly address vitamin D?
Yeah. Again, vitamin D levels are critical, okay? Because, and again, this has been known for far before COVID, but that when you have adequate or robust levels of vitamin D within your systems, you virtually will not get a respiratory infection of any kind, okay? Yeah. And yet, that has been pushed aside. We suppress that information. We don't want people to know that. It amazes me how everything has been vaccine focused and not even on the therapeutics. If somebody gets it, how to treat them. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we are denying people treatment because of their vaccine status, which is amazing because, first of all, we have been led to believe that if you're vaccinated, that you are protected. And yet about 25% of all the new cases are breakthrough infections of people who are fully vaccinated. We look at the big death this week, Colin Powell.
Yeah.
Okay, fully vaccinated, getting ready to get his booster, and he dies.
He's 84 years
COVID,
old.
Of COVID. Yeah. Right. And had all kinds of complicated
sure
facts.
Sure he did.
You know?
Yeah, he had he's 84 years old.
Right. And yet you listen to the media, and they spin it in the way that they want to spin it.
Right.
You know? If only he would have gotten the booster, he probably would have been okay. If only. He was just days away from getting it. Like that was going to be the salvation factor.
Right.
Now, again, please don't misunderstand me out there. I am very listen. If you have a loved one that you lost, it's devastating.
Absolutely,
okay?
It is.
Absolutely devastating. But it's devastating to lose a loved one to any cause. Listen, I lost a sister to a brain aneurysm. It was the most devastating thing that ever happened in my life. Okay, but it happened, and you have no control. As what happens here in this situation. So if a person dies, it's one thing worse. You know, if my 90-year-old, you know, grandmother dies of, quote, natural causes, then we can accept that. But if my 90-year-old grandmother dies of COVID, it's the most heinous, unbelievable death ever imagined. I don't understand it. I just don't understand it. How we have exaggerated this thing to the levels that we've exaggerated it. And the fact that so many people have been denied appropriate therapeutic treatment because there is a different agenda out there and there is a different push to promote certain things. And that's where at this point in the ballgame, you know, you can get away with that for a while, but we're going on 2 years. You can't keep doing this. You know, you just can't keep doing this.
Agreed.
You know, so you may not like my opinion, you may not like my point of view, but you know what? If it does nothing more than stimulate you to investigate more, then I've done my job.
That's right. Critical thinking is
absolutely. We've lost it. It's gone way by the wayside. We don't want anybody to critical think. You know what happens is actually when somebody even look what they're doing in the school systems now with parents who are, you know, standing up and questioning the mask mandates and all this stuff.
Right.
You know, they're labeling them as domestic terrorists. Honest to God, are you crazy?
Seriously.
Are you really crazy?
Right.
You know, look what's happened to our country in just the last 10 months. Look what has happened.
The gubernatorial candidate in Virginia said, you have no business with what we're going to be teaching your children. Telling a parent that.
Right.
Are you out of your mind?
Right. Right. It's just truly, truly mind-boggling that you can sit back and look and not question what has happened in just 10 months. Set aside the pandemic. I say the pandemic has been the smokescreen to do all the other stuff. Yeah, it's sad. It's very sad.
It truly it is.
And people need to start waking up because if you want to live in that type of an environment, because believe me, the control is getting greater and greater and greater. And the one thing that, you know, people try to get in our country from all over the world because of our freedoms, because of our Constitution. And the fact that we have just literally getting away from that is amazing.
So, it absolutely is. Well, Dr. Kerbs, it is always an amazing conversation to have with you. You get people thinking a little bit, and I certainly do appreciate your time. real quickly, your phone number and your address, how can we get in touch with you?
Phone number is 434-0671, address 741 Davison Road here in Lockport. And you can also contact me directly by my email at drkenkerbs@yahoo.com.
That's great. Thank you so much, Dr. Kerbs. I appreciate your time, and I hope you have a wonderful day. We'll speak to you in the very near future.